Hello, everyone. Welcome to Women's Sports Central on womenssportscentral.com. I'm Brenda Van Lingen, along with Michelle Vopel, and we're going to talk a lot about Big 12 Women's Basketball Media Day, as Michelle and I just attended that event on Wednesday and have lots to share from that. But we're going to get started just with some other quick hits on other happenings around the country. First of all, how are you doing, Michelle? How'd you survive this week?
So far, so good. We had a very entertaining, I would say, Big 12 Media Day with some particularly fascinating quotes from certain people. And
some good sound bites, right?
Absolutely. And you know, we had pretty nice attendance from the media, which was good to see. And you know, we had a nice World Series game for me on Wednesday. So far, so good.
That's right. The big Cardinals fan. The Cardinals got off to a good start with the win on Wednesday. So I know Michelle is a huge Cardinals fan. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I know, Brenda, you're sort of torn because you have all these Cardinals and Rangers fan friends, and so you're trying to play Switzerland.
Exactly. I am definitely Switzerland in this. I'll just enjoy the series and watch all the comments from my various friends and just be supportive of everybody, I guess. Hey, well, speaking of just a lot going on in the world of sports, volleyball is in full swing. The conference schedules are hitting their strides. We've talked a lot on this show about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, the Big 12, a little SEC as well. But the big matchup of the week coming up is Nebraska and Illinois. But as we look back at this past week, Penn State, the only top 25 games of note, Penn State beat Ohio State in three sets. Nebraska beat Iowa in three sets in the Big Ten. And this weekend is the big game, as it's number one Illinois heading to Nebraska, who's ranked number four in the country. And I think ever since Nebraska left the Big 12 and is going to the Big 10, people have been looking at this as far as a big volleyball matchup, and we don't have to wait any longer. That is this weekend, Michelle.
Yeah, it really sort of a match that for the last few weeks I think volleyball fans have had circled. You know, coming into the season, there was a lot of interest and excitement in seeing Nebraska go against Penn State in the regular season, and they opened up the Big 10 season in Lincoln on September 21st. But Illinois is a team that has established itself now as number one. They went in not too long ago and beat Ohio State, beat Penn State on the road. So this is the big showdown for these two teams. It's the only time they'll play each other. They don't have a return match this year in Champaign. So both teams right now are coming in really on a full head of steam. They both swept their opponents last night. Iowa went into Nebraska, which is pretty much like that's a David and Goliath for the poor Hawkeyes. And then Illinois went to Northwestern. And so we have both these teams right now. I think one of the things that's potentially on the line here is maybe getting a number one seed. There's still some of the season left to go, and Nebraska still has to go to Penn State. But there's a lot at stake, and right now you're looking at, definitely the number one team, and in Nebraska, it's not too far off from being a number one team.
Well, and that's really what is at stake, right? The fact that the Pac-12 is so strong and so deep, especially in the top 10 in the country. You have to wonder if whoever wins this game will certainly be a number one seed, you would think, depending on what happens in the NCAA tournament. But is it possible then that the team that loses slips to a potential number two or three and then gets in a situation where it's much tougher to advance to ultimately the final four of volleyball? There's really a lot at stake here. I know there's a lot of season left, but this really is a huge determining game, isn't it?
I think so, and I think both teams have a lot of seniors, have a lot of really experienced players, and are going to go in knowing that that's the case. These teams, I think are what's interesting is that Illinois has been a power in the past. They've gone to two Final Fours, but those were both in the 80s. So you know, they had sort of a lull for a while, and I don't want to say they ever went away. It's not like they were ever a bad program, but
right.
they weren't a program that was competing for potential national championship for a while. Kevin Hambly came in as coach. I think he's been able to, you know, really recruit very well in Illinois. And the interesting thing is I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about why there's so many good players from the state of Illinois, and you'll see them on teams all the way across the country. And he said, you know, the club system is very, very good in Chicago especially. And so you're seeing a lot of players, you know, from that state be sort of dispersed throughout the country. One of them happens to be at Nebraska. That's Hannah Worth, and she's from Springfield, Illinois, played a lot of club ball up in Chicago. And she's had a really superb last week. She was Big Ten Player of the Week this week. I think she's had three consecutive double-doubles. I guess last night she had eight kills, so she just missed a double-double mm-hmm. last night. But she's a very powerful force for them. And then Colleen Ward for the Illini, who's a player from the Chicago area, went to Florida. That's where she started her career and decided to come back home.
Hmm.
Transferred back to Illinois. Last night, she had what I would call a pretty darn impressive double-double, 20 kills and 20 digs.
Wow.
So you're really going to see some terrific athletes in this match. And Illinois has a lot of height, too. So that's something that Nebraska is going to have to contend with.
Well, it will be fun, and it is going to be on the Big Ten Network, according to the Illinois website. It's at 7 o'clock Central Time. That hasn't always been a good indicator, because I've seen some games advertised as being on the Big Ten Network then haven't been able to find them, but that's what is posted. I've got to think a lot of people all around the country are going to be interested in seeing that game. So 7 o'clock Central on Saturday, Illinois mm-hmm. will be at Nebraska in volleyball. Any other volleyball comments?
Well, volleyball fans kind of have to work a little hard, Brenda. Like, sort of like women's basketball fans don't have to work as hard anymore. There's more games on, but the way it used to be with women's basketball, where you'd have more the tape delayed games, mm-hmm. that happens a lot in volleyball. And so if you're really into it, Big Ten Network is a huge you know, advantage. If you're into volleyball, you need to get Big Ten Network because of the number of matches they show, but a lot of them are on tape delay, so it is something you have to watch out for and be sure to get them. A lot of times they're on, like, Monday, for instance. They'll do matches on Monday. I hope this one's on live, because mm-hmm. it is such a big matchup.
Yeah, I would hope that the powers that be recognize what a great game and what a huge matchup that is, so... Everybody keep an eye out for that. We'll be talking about that and wrapping it up on the opposite side next week when we have our show. But this Friday, today, the Mighty Max opens. We talked about it on last week's show. If you had a chance to listen, I hope you did. If not, I had an interview posted on womenssportscentral.com this week with the gentleman that brought the entire project together, the writer, producer, director, Tim Chambers. It's just a quick 12-minute interview. If you get a chance to go back on the website, it's definitely worth listening to before you go to the show today or sometime this weekend, because you'll really get some insight into the movie. And, Michelle, I know that you're also planning to post, or maybe you have already, your insights on the Mighty Max.
Yeah, I did a story on Kathy Rush. It was more just focused on her and her life. And then another story was sort of a movie review, if you will, of the Mighty Max. And at Big 12 Media Day yesterday, I, as I'm sure you did, Brenda, just tried to let people know that it was a really, really fun movie. I think a very good movie, especially for younger people to watch, to get a real sense of how things were not that long ago. You know, we're talking about the early 1970s, not the 1870s.
Right.
And I think when they see, you know, how little these college girls had, you know, I mean, they had a kind of a junky old room to practice in. They had, at the start, you know, they had one punctured ball, you know, mm-hmm. to play with. And they didn't need all the stuff that people, I think you need to play. They just needed, you know, the smallest chance to be able to do it. And I think it should be very inspiring to a lot of people. And as you and I have talked about, it's a well-acted, well-produced movie. Mm-hmm. And that was nice to see.
Certainly. And I'll just put my plug in again. If if you have a chance, I won't even say if, please make the time to go watch this movie, because it's a fantastic movie. Number one, you're going to be entertained. There's some information and education along the way too. But it's also, if you are a fan, a supporter of women's sports, it's a great opportunity to spend your dollars on something that has been made specifically about the history of women's sports. And it's worth all of our time and money to go and support an initiative like that. So my congratulations and thanks to Tim Chambers for his leadership in that. And Kathy Rush was such an important part of bringing that all together. And it's a great movie. So go out and see it this weekend, and then tweet us and let us know what you think at Women's Sports Central. All right, one more quick thing before we take a break and go on to the Big 12 Media Day. Next weekend, Michelle and I will be making our now third annual trek to southwestern Kansas. We are in the Kansas City area, but southwestern Kansas is another world from here in some ways, about a 7 or 8 hour drive. And it's an area, though, that hosts a very significant and special basketball event now for the third year in a row. It's called WEPAC, W-E-P-A-C, and it's all about raising funds and awareness for health prevention initiatives for women in five communities in southwestern Kansas. And it's just an incredible event that's televised on Fox Sports Net. I'll be on the broadcast along with Cindy Stein and Debbie Antonelli this year. But it's a tremendous event because it's special in that WNBA players come to it, ex-college players, along with high school players from the community to support this initiative to raise funds. And they've saved a lot of lives with some prevention as far as mammograms and so forth. This year, Michelle, the lineup includes Shamiqua Holsklaw and Shauna Crossley are going to come back and be coaches along with Jackie Stiles. But then Tisha Pinachero is going to join for the first time, Marion Jones, Edna Campbell and Sydney Spencer are coming back for a second year. And then Katie Smith is going to be there as well. So it's an all-star cast. And as you know, it's a lot of fun, and it's really a special event.
Yeah, you know, I think the guy who has put this together, who originated it, Benjamin Anderson, I keep thinking he needs to maybe solve the national debt problem, because he is just a sort of a wizard with getting people to work together and finding funds to help people get to places, and, you know, doing all the organizing. And then, you know, they have raised a tremendous amount of money for a really important cause and are saving lives. So it's a great thing to be part of. It's a lot of fun. We can tell a lot of jokes about how far out in the boonies we are, and you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's fantastic, and so we want to just alert you to that so that you're aware of it and you're setting your DVR. It's next Friday, a week from today, as far as I think it's October 28th, and it will be on Fox Sports Net, and it will certainly be a unique and special event, and we hope that you'll join us. And
are you wearing your Halloween costume that night, Brenda?
I hadn't planned on it, but, you know, it always falls on Halloween weekend. Maybe I need to do that. I certainly needed to wear pink, because that's what everybody's wearing there.
Yeah, I was just thinking maybe that could be your twist this year, if you're going to do your broadcasting costume or something.
My twist. All right, I'll have to think about that between now and next week. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about Big 12 women's basketball, as we heard from all the coaches and many of the top players in the conference this week at Media Day. This is Brenda Van Lingen along with Michelle Vopel on Women's Sports Central. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Women's Sports Central on womenssportscentral.com. You can follow Brenda and Michelle on Twitter by following Brenda at Brenda Van Lingen, V-A-N-L-E-N-G-E-N, or Michelle at Michelle V, and it's spelled M-E-C-H-E-L-L-E-V. You can also follow us on a new Twitter account, Women's Sports Central. It's abbreviated Women's Sports C-E-N. And you can follow us on Twitter. You can also like Brenda on Facebook at BV on TV, etc. back, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Brenda Van Lingen along with Michelle Vopel. And we had a lot of fun at our annual trek to the Big 12 Conference Women's Basketball Media Day. It was at the Sprint Center in Kansas City. It was a little different this year, as everybody is aware the Big 12 is different this year and will be next year, but Nebraska and Colorado were not there, so only 10 teams were there to share. But we were not without some good sound bites and some interesting comments. And with the realignment, a lot of coaches have a lot of things to say. And it was an entertaining day, wasn't it, Michelle?
It was. And Kim Mulkey got us started off. She was the first coach to go, and that kind of set the tone for the day. And that was it was definitely entertaining.
Yes, Kim started off with Baylor, of course, preseason ranked number one in the Big 12, number one in the nation. And, just a lot of discussion around that fact, but more so the question came up about playing Texas A&M in the future. Texas A&M leaving the Big 12 Conference, going to the SEC. Of course, everyone knows the defending national champion in women's basketball. And Kim started off by saying, and I won't say verbatim, but something along the lines of she had followed the comments from the president of Texas A&M, and those comments set up the fact that they saw no more value in this relationship. They were ready to leave and walk away. It's like a marriage. We're ready to walk away. And Kim said those comments resonated with her, and so as she looks ahead at the possibility of playing Texas A&M in the future, her comment was, if a man divorces me and says he wants nothing more to do with this relationship, then comes back and asks me to sleep with him, the answer is no. And that's how Kim laid it out.
Yeah, I think Kim was, this was not a sort of a spontaneous, unplanned, I'm going to drop a, I'm upset now, I'm just going to say whatever I think. This is very, it was very planned out and thought out. She knew what she wanted to say, and she wanted to really make it very clear that she feels like this is a betrayal on A&M's part to the Big 12. And as such, she doesn't want to have anything more to do with A&M. Now, A&M folks are kind of upset about this, of course, because they feel like, you know, they were just trying to do what was best for them. There's all this controversy about the Longhorn Network, that A&M was upset with the Longhorn Network that ESPN has partnered with Texas to produce, and that's why they wanted out of the Big 12. Part of the reason I thought that was kind of weird is like, okay, is leaving the Big 12 going to stop the Longhorn Network? It's not. So, you know, I understand Texas A&M's idea, which is, you know, we're sick of Texas. We feel like we've been overshadowed by Texas, and now this Longhorn Network thing is just one more way to, you know, overshadow us. But now you're going to another conference where you're going to be overshadowed by other teams. And it's not like Texas is still going to be Texas, whether or not you're in the same conference with them or not. So I haven't really completely understood their logic, I'll be honest with you. And by the same token, though, you could say, is Kim punishing, you know, Gary Blair and his program when they didn't have anything to do with the conference realignment? And then on the Baylor standpoint, they might say, well, who cares? You know, we can do whatever we want. You know, mm-hmm. We can play whoever we want, and Kim can, you know, decide if she doesn't want to play Texas A&M, that's her choice. And ultimately, I would say the good part of all this, Brenda, is like it got all kinds of people talking yesterday about women's basketball. So I'm not so sure that Kim isn't sort of a little crazy like a fox mm-hmm. with those things. You know, I mean, I give her credit for getting people going.
Right. I think that definitely is the case. My biggest concern about the whole situation is it's been such a great rivalry in women's basketball, the whole Baylor-Texas A&M. It played out last year, of course, that Baylor beat A&M both times in the regular season, beat them for the Big 12 championship, but then lost in the regional finals for A&M to go on to the Final Four and win the national championship. It's just, and you know, that's just a chapter, but a huge chapter in this rivalry. And the fact that that rivalry will go away after this year is sad for the fans, I think, because of their proximity, because they have so many players that grew up playing against each other, because of the history of both Gary Blair and Kim Mulkey in dating all the way back to La Tech. All of those things, it would be sad to not see those two teams play against each other in the future. And so I hope in the future maybe that all gets resolved. It's really similar to UConn and Tennessee not playing each other. The fans, I think, get cheated out of seeing two of the top programs matching up in their non-conference schedule. So that's one of the things that I think is disappointing for the fans in all of this. But let's talk basketball, because Brittany Griner was there fresh off being with the U.S. national team. I thought her comments were interesting in that Swin Cash had really taken her under her wing and helped her to grow as a player and an athlete, a basketball player, understanding what she needed to do play after play. And, you know, Brittany is going to have all eyes on her, as well as Odyssey Sims and Baylor. And I think that's just an incredible experience that Brittany has had in this offseason.
Absolutely. And it's nice to see Brittany so, you know, I think we're seeing her real personality now. I'm not saying we haven't seen it before, but I really felt like yesterday she was very comfortable with the fact that there was so much media attention on her. She was friendly. She was you know, very well spoken. She was funny. It was just nice to see that she has that comfort level now, because it's going to be this way the rest of her career. Wherever she, you know, I may include more Final Four visits. I imagine she's going to be the number one draft pick, Olympics, WNBA. She's going to be the center of attention, and it's really nice to see how comfortable she appears to be as the center of attention. The funny thing, and you probably noticed this, Brenda, is, you know, Odyssey Sims is the point guard, Brittany's the center, but Brittany's by far the more talkative of the two of them, at least around the media. So I don't know how that dynamic works when they're out on court, if Odyssey has you know, a little bit more of the point guard's voice out there. And, you know, Kim Mulkey talked about the fact that, you know, Baylor does have a lot of depth. They lost Melissa Jones. They're looking for a lot of different people to step in as a replacement for her. But for the most part, Baylor's got the bases covered, and I think they're going to be the preseason number one, not just the Big 12 pick for number one.
And I had a chance to speak with Brittany, and I'm going to put together kind of a montage of sound bites from every one of the players that was there in the Big 12, all of the athletes that were there, and I asked them what they did to improve their game and what their expectations are for themselves as they go forward to the season. So we'll have that available later on Women's Sports Central. But one of the things related to what you just said, Michelle, is asking Brittany about what her expectations are of herself. And she said, I want to be more of a leader. I want to be more of a vocal leader on the court. I know I'm not the point guard with the ball in my hands, but I see everything out in front, you know, out in front of me. I'm behind behind everybody. I see everything. I can be more of a vocal leader.
Absolutely, and that doesn't necessarily happen with centers that often. Mm-hmm. I've known other ones who are like that, you know, where the center is your kind of your team leader and voice, and sort of has a almost a point guards type vision. Mm-hmm. But it does happen sometimes, and I think that's just one more thing that makes her valuable, along with the obvious, you know, physical traits and stature that she has. She has gotten stronger. She's put on a little weight. I just think you're going to see the best of Brittany. That, you know, as good as she's been so far, I think you're going to see her even better, and obviously on both ends of the court, because she has played this huge role on defense for Baylor and will continue to.
And there's the Brittany factor, the fact that she is a junior and so dominant and the best player in the country. All of the other teams in the Big 12 have had to change their recruiting philosophies, change the way they play, et cetera. And let's take a look at the rest of the Big 12 conference. The way the preseason polls came out, Baylor was picked number one, A&M, the defending national champion, number two, and then Texas 3, Oklahoma 4, Iowa State, Texas Tech, Kansas at number 7, Oklahoma State 8, Kansas State 9 and Missouri 10 as far as the preseason polls. And let's just go down with a quick back and forth between the two of us. Just any comments or insights related to each of these teams. So let's start with Texas A&M at that number 2 position, Michelle.
We know who they're losing. Daniel Adams had a very good rookie season, and Sidney Colson. But they have so much back. Tyra White is poised to have a very, very good year. I think two of the players that she's sort of likes to watch and emulate are Simone Augustus and Tamika Catchings. And, you know, you want to talk about, here's the MVP of this past WNBA season and the MVP of the finals. Mm-hmm. So good picks for Tyra White to emulate. I think, we're going to see who really settles into that point guard role. Carter can play the point guard role, but Colson, the team was always at its best in the last, 3 years. When Sidney Colson was playing point guard, that was when everybody else was in the right spot. She was the best point guard for that team. So it's who is going to take on that role. I think they're going to have with Kelsey Bone a lot of depth and be a very strong inside team. Mm-hmm. And as Gary said yesterday, he's been telling Kelsey Bone, you're not Danielle Adams. I don't want you shooting 3-pointers. You're Kelsey Bone, and I want you to stay really close to the basket.
Mm-hmm. And that's her strength. And, of course, she, along with Carla Gilbert, give A&M two big inside players. And that's part of that preparing to play Baylor, because they have more fouls to give and more strength when it comes to defending Brittany Griner. And I agree on Tyra White. I just really appreciate and respect her game, her shot, her abilities. Gary Blair always says that Tyra White never takes a bad shot, because she always understands where the good shots are. She may be relied upon to shoot more this year, so she may have to take some bad shots, quote-unquote bad shots, but she is such a tremendous athlete and shooter. They're going to be leaning on her. I love Sidney Carter as well. It'll be interesting to see how, as Gary Blair says so well, how they defend their national title. Let's go on down to a team that is preseason pick number 3 in Texas, but a lot of pressure, I think, on Texas this year.
There is, and they seem to be embracing that. They, one of the things they talked about yesterday is they understand that there's going to be, the thought that this is a little bit of a put up or shut up year for the Longhorns. Gail Gessenkor said she has much more the depth and the mindset of the team than she ever has before. They have a young freshman point guard, Cassie Peoples, who's been injured, so we don't know exactly how soon she's going to be able to play, but she is a true point guard out of Houston, and I think that's a big factor for them. Gail's always had a really strong relationship with whoever her point guard is, and I think that if Cassie's able to fit the bill for them, that's going to help them. And then the other big thing, of course, that they have back is Cokie Reed, who, it's not just that they have her back, it's that when she's out there, Ashley Gale's a better player.
Right.
Anne-Marie Hartung is a better player. The guards, I think, are more comfortable. I mean, it makes everybody else's job easier to have Cokie Reed out there.
Injuries are such a part of sport, and Texas certainly would have been a much better team last year had Cokie Reed not gotten injured, but now she's back, and everybody around her is older and better. And Gail Gessenkor talked about when they played in Europe this summer, the game would start, and every game the opposing coach had to call a timeout about 6 minutes in because they couldn't defend Cokie Reed. They had to find a different way. When they started double teaming and triple teaming, then everybody else was open. So I think that it makes all the world of difference for Texas. And so we'll see how all that plays out. Now, to me, a team with a lot of question marks after losing Danielle Robinson is Oklahoma. But Sherry Cole, year in and year out, finds a way to reload. She still has Aaron Ellenberg, the great shooter. She has Whitney Hand, who always impresses me on and off the court, just an incredible young woman. And she is feeling healthy and ready to go. Oklahoma, preseason pick number 4, but they still have a lot of question marks.
I think they have tons of question marks. The thing is, they have earned the respect because they've proven over and over and over again that even if they start the season and you're thinking, I don't really know what this thing's going to look like for sure, which we've done in the past. We've thought, okay, how are they going to get over losing the Paris twins? Mm-hmm. You know, how are they going to get over losing Stacey Dales to go back further than that? And Sherry Cole finds a way to do it. So, you know, yesterday in the, you know, with the Big 12 Media Day, that's, you know, one of the main things we were asking her is, tell us more about some of these new players, what you expect from them, what different roles people are going to be in. I look at this and say it's probably, if everybody is developed or is better, and with the freshman that she's bringing in, it may be a little bit stronger inside team, because the one thing about last year was they didn't have a lot of bodies to throw at you inside. They depended a lot on Danielle Robinson being able to penetrate, being faster than a lot of people. They were a little bit of a sort of a, I would call them sort of a cut and paste kind of team last mm-hmm. year. You know, it's like they're putting people in a lot of roles that you wouldn't think is necessarily where they're best, but Sherry was able to do it. It might be a team where she has a few more tools in spots that they would fit a little bit better this year.
And speaking of a team that's earned the respect, Iowa State is preseason pick number 5. And after losing Kelsey Bolte, they have a big hole to fill. But so many great players that are on the inside that are so versatile that can swing inside and out, they're going to have more depth inside, and good guard play just rotates each year. And, you know, who will be the three-point shooters? Who will be those players that penetrate and pitch? It will be interesting to see how Iowa State does, especially we didn't see Bill Fenley yesterday at the Big 12 Media Day. We've talked about on the show, has cancerous lesions on his vocal cords and is going through treatment. He's still going to practice each day and finds a way to communicate, but we wish him well, and Media Day was not the same without him. But it will be interesting to see, and I think, as always, Iowa State just reloads and is always good.
Yeah, I do believe they will be. They, you know, they, like a lot of teams, they have a few questions to answer, but they always seem to do that, and they can sometimes make a player who's never shot a three-pointer before in her life suddenly become a three-point threat. It's mm-hmm. just the Iowa State magic that they're able to do that. So I do think they're going to be a good team again.
That's the way it works in Ames, certainly. Texas Tech was preseason pick number 6, and Christy Curry was very vocal about the fact that Kiara Mallard did not get any preseason recognition at all, and vows that Mallard is going to make them pay.
Which is fine. I never understand why coaches are complaining to us about that at Media Day, because we don't do the voting.
Right.
You know, it's like she's like, I don't know what it'll take to get some respect. I'm like, you need to talk to your fellow coaches, because they do the voting for the preseason. The media doesn't. So, you know, I don't know how many coaches have done that. They get up there all grumpy, and I'm like, we're not, you can yell at us, but we're not the ones that do this. So, they did. I really sensed like a testiness to a degree from Texas Tech. Like, hey, we don't feel like we're being respected. And, you know, we got back into the NCAA tournament last year. And, you know, we're better than you think we are. And if they can use that to their advantage, that's great.
Mm-hmm. It's so tough, because as you look down the list, you know, I'll go all the way down to number 9 with Kansas State. I don't put Missouri in the category yet, but I think any of these teams 1 through 9 can finish in the top half, maybe even top 3 or 4 of the conference, just depending on how things come together for them. Texas Tech is one of those teams. Kansas preseason pick number 7 is another. They've got 3 pieces in Angel Goodrich at the point guard, Carolyn Davis inside, who's on a lot of the national watch list, and then Monica Engelman. 3 experienced players now that have gone through the rigors of the Big 12 that they're building their program on, that they've got a chance to be really good as well, depending on how they're able to push through and do in their non-conference. But then once they hit the Big 12 schedule, what have they learned in the past and how have they improved?
Yeah, they have to get off to a good start in the Big 12, because we've seen this so many times, you know, where they have a good non-conference season, they seem like they have a full head of steam, and they just lay a gigantic egg to start the Big 12 season. And then they can't, and then the mindset becomes, oh no, it's happening to us again.
Right.
And so I think they really need to get off to a good start. They do have the talent. But I think, again, we've said this before, it's, you know, they're another put up or shut up team.
Oklahoma State, Kurt Budke was almost giddy with being pleased with his young players. Tiffany Bias, Vicky McIntyre accompanied him, two sophomores. Bias, a great point guard, very poised, talented, articulate, very impressive young woman. And Vicky McIntyre, a tall player out of Omaha, Nebraska, went to Marion High School that really, I think, exceeded expectations last year and is a good force inside to go along with Tony Young at that four spot. I think they're going to surprise some people.
They really could. You know, they've got a lot of kids that, unless you're a close follower of Big 12 basketball, you're not going to be very familiar with who these kids are. But we did see them start to develop last year. Some of their players, and he's got, Kurt was talking about, his team is still very young. He's got so many, I mean, the bulk of his team is freshmen and sophomores. So the sophomores got a lot of playing time last year. They're athletic, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, even if, you know, this year is sort of a knocking on the door year, if everybody stays healthy, next year could be a pretty big year for Oklahoma State if everybody develops the way that he thinks they will.
Mm-hmm. Kansas State, preseason pick number 9, in some ways surprising because they have Brittany Chambers and Jelena Childs back, but they lost Taylor Carr, who transferred out of Manhattan, so there's that question mark in the play-creating and scoring category. But Brittany Chambers, just seeing her yesterday, she has actually you become much more fit and bigger. She's actually stronger, and you know, she has to be in the to bounce around against all of the tough guards in the Big 12. But Jelena Childs and Chambers provide a good nucleus for Kansas State.
That's true. I still, you know, Kansas State tends to find ways, you know, to win games that can surprise you. They do have, they tend to be a very, very good team at home, and teams tend to not play well in Manhattan. So this year with the double round robin, Everybody's going to go to Manhattan. Will that end up being an advantage for K-State? It might. There's question marks, and, you know, obviously when we talk to Missouri, to me that's even more question marks because they're going to rely on some people. We don't know who they are yet, you know, and I'm not sure their coaches know who they are yet. So they'll have to emerge. But, you know, lots going to be on the shoulders of the returning top duo for K-State.
Yeah, and you're right, Missouri preseason pick number 10, and lots of question marks there. We're running out of time, but just as you reflect back on the overall day of Media Day, the conference realignment was a big discussion. Also, the new format, the double round robin. I'm really interested to see how that works as, you know, everybody gets a chance or has to go, maybe is a better term, to everybody else's home court. It will change the dynamics of the Big 12 conference, and I think we're in store for another exciting year.
I agree, and there's a lot of things we really don't know. I mean, that even if you're somebody who's followed the league for as long as you and I have, there's too many young unknown players or people coming back from injury to know right now exactly how good they're going to be. We're going to have a much better grasp on this after we see a little bit of the non-conference play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's just around the corner. We'll talk more about teams all across the nation, but wanted to share our insights on some things we picked up at Big 12 Media Day. Any parting shots, Michelle?
You know, it was sort of sad. Honestly, like, Gary Blair was sad yesterday.
Yeah.
You could tell he really does not want to leave. And, you know, he said that. I wrote a story for ESPN.com, and he said, I'm really, really going to miss this conference. I got comfortable living in this conference, if you will. And I like my fellow coaches. I like the rivalries. I mean, it's tough when you think of what they're losing. And this was, again, people, I'm not trying to bag on Texas A&M, but they're giving away conference rivalries with schools that they've had forever that are an hour and a half away.
Right.
What's their closest rivalry game in the conference? Is it LSU? I mean, when we're talking about, you know, places you can go and go to the game and be back and have dinner. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to happen anymore in conference. And I think that's really, I think it's a really sad thing for women's basketball and for the other sports where people want to, you know, be able to see conference rivalry games that are, you know, an easy drive away. They're gone, or they will be gone after this year.
And I thought Sherry Cole had the best line as far as all of that, because you and I talked about it. So many people have talked about it. We all know this is about football and ratings and all of those big dollars, but student athlete welfare is a real issue. And Sherry Cole made the comment that, you know, if I were on the outside looking in, yes, I suppose this would be fascinating and interesting, but I'm in it every day and living it. And all of this affects my life. And quite frankly, I find it repugnant more so than fascinating. And I think there are a lot of people that feel that way. And I was glad to hear her articulate that, because I hope that people can see what happens, you know, with situations, decisions that have been made. Some for the positive for universities, some may be very negative. Time will tell, but there's still a lot of history to be written, and it's a new page, and we'll find out how this new era is going to transpire. Well, thanks, Michelle, for sharing all of your insights on Big 12 Media Day. It was fun for me as well. We're going to come back and talk more basketball, volleyball, and other sports next week on Women's Sports Central. And we'll be previewing our special game with WePack as well. So on behalf of Michelle Vopel, I'm Brenda Van Langen. This is Women's Sports Central.